step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Enter the keyword now at WHAS.com.
All right, welcome back. News Radio 840 WHAS. The Tony and Dwight Show with Dave Jennings. Brought to you by the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety. Please buckle up and put the phone down. The one thing that we wanted when we started this show is we wanted to care about the children.
That's right. In the right way. And as
that's
we say,
a good idea.
No, not you.
Not you, dude.
Happy birthday to Eddie Van Halen. And right to my left, I have Evan Van Halen and the rest of the band. He cringes when I say that. But the rest of the band from Lampus. But you could catch this. Now, listen, it's a teenage band. And boy, are they good. And they're performing tomorrow night at the Blind Squirrel at 8:30 p.m. to probably around midnight. But let's go ahead and jump right into the interview, though. I want to talk to Kayla. Kayla, you're the front. You sing for the band. But you started at like 2 years old, you start singing. And then later in life, you even get flown out to Hollywood for the American Idol. What happened with that? What was that process like?
So pretty much my friend texted me the link. She was like, it was like a week before the virtual audition. This was like in the middle of COVID. Mm-hmm. She texted me the link. She was like, hey, they're doing virtual auditions. Might as well give it a try. You're really good. Like, nothing bad's going to happen if you don't make it. So I get on there fully expecting to just like not hear back from them after.
Right.
Get on there, make it to the first producer. They send me to the next one, and then the next one, and then I have to answer. But we're on there for like 3 hours. They call me back the next day, and they say I have a ticket to Hollywood. So
that's cool.
When we get there, it's just a bunch of filming and
your nerves off the chart when you walk in and you see Lionel Richie or whoever else.
Who was on the panel at that time?
Who was?
Katy Perry, Luke Bryan,
oh,
and Lionel Richie.
Gosh.
It was awesome.
Wow.
I've been
Katy
listening
Perry
to.
Cool?
She's pretty cool, yeah.
Okay.
She was wearing a full cow print jumper. Yeah.
Okay. Does Luke Bryan talk like Marvin Martian in person, or is that just a thing?
A little bit.
Well,
he
really?
Wasn't talking to me. Lionel was the one that was mainly speaking to me.
What an icon. Cool. Lionel Richie. Wow.
That's from our generation, by the way.
Awesome. So you're nervous? Oh, yeah. I'd be too nervous to perform. Lionel Richie's an icon.
Yeah, I was a little bit out of my comfort zone,
yeah.
But I tried my hardest. It was obvious that I had not been doing it professionally. And they let me know that, but they wanted me to come back. Lionel gave me a yes, so I would continue
nice.
To
Well, how old are you when
it?
This goes on?
17.
Wow.
I had just turned 17.
So. That's a lot of pressure.
So you're the only high school graduate in the group, right?
Yes.
Okay,
for
everyone
now.
Else is still in high school. Let's go around. I want your name and the high school you go to now. Go ahead.
My name's Evan, and I go to Eastern High School.
I'm Jules, and I go to Mercy Academy.
Wait, let's get ages, too. Evan, how old are you?
I'm 14.
You're 14 years old. How old are you?
I'm 15.
15?
Okay,
all right, jump in here, guys.
Here.
I'm Brady. I go to Atherton. I'm 15.
Go ahead.
I'm Leo. I go to Eastern. I'm 14.
Okay. 14, wow.
Those are all good schools. Eastern, Mercy, Atherton, and one graduate here, all from 18 to 14 years old. Who put the band together?
So me and Evan were talking about kind of branching off and doing acoustic stuff because
mm-hmm.
we were in a program before, but it was my time to leave. So
and, then she asked me about adding Leo as another guitar so that way we could do more stuff. And I had asked him about it, and he said he was interested. And then Brady had overheard what was going on, and he wanted it on drums. We're like, let's just turn this into a full band thing. And you were asking about a bassist, so I'm like, oh, Jules.
Yeah, she was kind of like the obvious answer.
But at first, you have to go home and say, hey, I've been hanging out with this 18-year-old lady.
I already knew her for like a year.
Like, who the hell is this? What lady?
You're going to
like,
what?
Well, she's graduated already.
What?
You're a freshman.
I'm sure that went over well, but...
No, I was still in eighth grade at the time.
Do you have any parental guidance at all? But no, I'm kidding. So, sorry, Mom's here. I'm just kidding. I just want to give her a hard time. All right, so it's all working. You put it together. Who decided... Because, look, you all are in an age group. Are you seriously playing music from Dwight and I's age?
I find it fascinating that you guys are playing good music. How does that come about?
Good music. Okay.
Well, it's called like it is, right?
Classic rock.
It's just what, at least in my case, and I guess probably everyone else's in their own way, it's just what my parents ended up raising me on. That's what I always heard on the radio and in the house, so...
For me, when I started that program, that's when I started into classic rock music. I haven't been doing it, but for like 2 years, so.
What do they, do people compare you to any other singers?
Avril
Lavigne, okay. Amy Winehouse.
Oh, nice.
I get that a lot.
Oh my gosh, be careful with that Winehouse.
No.
Oh my gosh.
All right, listen.
But those are two very good compliments.
I want to make sure we get a song out of you all before you get out of here, so let's go ahead and put the song in the middle so we don't miss it.
Okay,
so what song are you all going to do?
Stone in Love by Journey.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, I got to hear this. All right, here we go. Hang on. All right, whenever you guys are ready.
Those crazy nights I do remember in my youth. I do recall those were the best times, most of all. In the heat with a blue jean girl, burning love come once in a lifetime. She found me singing by the railroad tracks, took me home, we danced by. Dusty roads led to the river, running slow. She pulled me down, a wedding clover. We go round, yeah, in the heat with a blue jean girl. Burning love from once in a lifetime. Oh, the memories never fade away. Golden girl. Summer nights are calling, stone in love. Can't help myself, I'm falling, stone in love. Summer nights are calling, stone in love. Can't help myself, I'm falling, stone in
that. Listen to you guys, man. Here's why I think it's impressive is because when we were growing up, you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a garage band, and somehow that just went away. But do kids even usually get together with bands in high school? I wouldn't imagine classic rock.
I think there's more than you think. I bet you there's a couple bands at Eastern. I know a couple at Manual, teenage rock bands. Yeah.
I have a cousin and a couple friends who go to Manual, and they've said that there's a couple people who like the same style of music. And
it's more of a heavy it thing, yeah.
At Eastern, I noticed that there's more kids like that are like metal bands rather than classic rock, but it's still a step up from rap.
Are you all the cool kids in high school? I'm serious because if you were in a band when I went to high school like this, you were performing in bars and restaurants, you would have been the coolest. Or what? Are you the cool kids now or not?
Definitely feels not like it. Can't tell.
Okay, listen. There's an old saying. I know this to be true because I went through it to get into radio. The life that you want lives on the other side of a bunch of crap that you don't want to do. Meaning, in order to get where you want to be, play guitar, mine was perform on radio on comedic level, you got to take your hard knocks. And you gotta work really hard. How long have you been playing guitar, and how many hours a day do you practice? Because you're really good.
Well, thank you. I've been playing guitar for almost 3 years. I started in April of 2020. And as far as practicing a day, it changes a lot. But I would say that I definitely practice songs I'm supposed to know and just work on my technique 4 or 5 hours a day when I get the chance. Maybe 2 hours if it's just a school day.
All right. So where can we come see you the next couple of times?
The Blind Squirrel is going to be tomorrow night, 8:30 to midnight. And then for more gig information, follow him on social media under Lampus, LAMPUS. What's the name Lampus? How do you come up with that name?
I think Brady should tell this story. Okay. He's the one who made
Brady. It's not lupus.
No.
Lampus.
Long story. So we were in Evan's basement, right?
Yeah.
Doing one of our first rehearsals.
I think it was all the way back in like May.
Yeah.
And and we were our first rehearsal, and we were trying to figure out a name.
Yep.
And there were like a lot of lamps down there.
Okay.
And
you were the one who said that.
So I said like, jeez. So I really like the band Primus. So it's like Lampus. But like, so
you're not going to mention the part where you came up with the name Carp?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Carpus?
Carpus Lampus.
So I said Lamp, and then Caleb said Us. Because like, Lampus.
I was thinking it's a Greek philosopher, maybe.
It's a little weird. It's a little weird.
But you never know. It's hard to come up with band names today because somebody's already got it or registered
it. We have time for another song. It's up to you guys.
Well, I thought we're going to go to break at Edelman, and we'll wrap up. So we're going to the Blind Squirrel?
Blind Squirrel tomorrow night, Friday night, 8:30 to midnight. Lampus, all teenage rock band. And I got to tell you, you're restoring my faith in kids. Because, listen, rock bands have gone by the wayside. The rock bands that I go see now are the same ones that I went and saw in the 80s and 90s. So, God bless you, I say, and keep doing what you're doing. And remember, if this is what you want to do, keep at it, because you guys, you made tremendous success so far. But you just got to keep doing what you don't want to do to get the life that you want to be at, okay? Yeah.
Good luck, guys. No, for sure. All right, Edelman, folks, if you're selling your home, what you got to do is go to Edelman.com. They're going to sell your house or help you buy a house for just 1% commission. What's that translate to you? There's a sliding scale at Edelman.com to where you can take it. Let's say you're selling your house for $500,000, and it'll get to the number that you're going to keep, the equity you're going to keep in your pocket, which averages that house is going to be about $12,000 to $15,000 in your pocket. You can do that and go with Edelman, or give that 15 grand to another real estate agent. It's your choice. Edelman, call them at 599-2800. That's 599-2800. Edelman, 46 years been a real estate brokerage. Back after this on News Radio 840 WHAS.
Get it!
That Lil Unchained, Fair Warning's probably the best album.
Underrated. I would agree. No cheesy remakes.
We got a notice from Nick Coffey. He was supposed to be in our segment about an hour ago, I guess.
Too many white clothes.
He goes, hey, I totally forgot. I'm out here at the mall signing autographs.
I'm oh, like, my gosh, oh, with this guy.
Old, yeah.
Right? Oh, my word.
Gets afternoon drive, and he's become that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Splash Mountain is, I believe, the first or second most. It's the favorite ride at Disney World in Orlando. The other one is, for a long time, it was
Space Mountain.
Space Mountain.
I don't like it because you get all wet. Your shoes, they get wet. Your socks are wet. your underwear is wet.
You've been to Florida in August?
It's the log water ride, right? So yeah. It goes through. It's been the same ride since the day they opened in 1972. And it's based off the movie... Oh, now I forgot. Song of the South.
Yes, yes. With Zippity-Doo-Dah.
Song of the South has been banned by Disney for decades. They say it's racist, and it is a little racist, and they got rid of it. Matter of fact, I know one person that has a VHS copy of the Song of the South. It's not a very good movie. It's a musical, and it's kind of goofy, but the ride... is based off the movie. And I'm not sure anybody ever hated the ride. Look, it's the number one ride they have at Disney World.
Do they go down in the movie on a log flume or something?
Yeah, I guess. I don't think so.
How many people over the years of all races, genders, ethnicities have gotten off that ride and said, wow, I feel really violated after that. That was so...
Nobody.
Answer is zero.
Well, even the Gen Zs that are sensitive about everything love the ride. I mean, everyone you talked to was like, they did what? So they've closed the ride.
For renovations.
Hopefully it will be the log water ride when it's done, because it literally is the first thing you want to do when you hit Disney, the Magic Kingdom, because there's four parks.
It's going to be based on a different movie now. Something in the Frog or something I've never seen.
The Princess and the Frog, yes. It takes place in Louisiana, so like in the swamps of Louisiana. So they'll switch it out with that, which is fine.
Some people will be hopping mad about that, too.
Oh, look at you.
Okay.
All right. But just to let you know, if you haven't heard it, you're screaming in your car, Splash Mountain is now gone. They'll revamp it, and they'll open it again under a different name.
Do we have Courtney Donahoe? Because we want to stay on time. Uncle Rico is going to join the show after the bottom of the hour.
That's not his name.
That's John
character
Grimes.
Is.
I think I want to make sure I'm pronouncing his name right. Gries. Is that Griers?
Griers?
You can ask him.
Greece?
Charday, perhaps?
Well, you don't want to ask a Hollywood guy, hey, how do you say your last name?
I was in love with Charday for the longest time. She quit the music industry to raise her children.
Awesome.
Oh,
she left for 10 years. She said, yeah, I'm going to go have my kids and raise my kids, and if I want to come back, I'll come back.
So she was saying.
You're a man who loves a little smooth jazz.
I mean, Sane.
No.
Sade. I haven't even thought about her in a very long time.
She pops up on Timeline. This is what scares me. I don't say the word Sade. I just think, man, Sade used to be hot when I was a kid.
Is it Sade?
Sade. Sade.
That's what I thought.
It's Saddam.
It's not Saddam.
It's not Saddam, President Mr.
Bush.
President.
Stop it.
It's Saddam.
But I would just think it, and it would pop up on my timeline on Facebook. I'm like, what is going on?
Let me see. Sade.
Yeah. See, I usually think of people named Rick.
Is it Rick?
Yeah, who I
know what you're saying.
I like Chris O'Kasich.
Dirty, dirty girl.
Dirty girl. Man.
Oh, tell the story from earlier, Courtney.
Yeah, it's S-A-D-E.
I can't repeat it. This is terrible. You have to tell them off air.
We can't. Let's keep some sort of composure here.
We're going to keep it clean.
But her name's Sade. That's
Sade.
Where's the H at?
Oh, my God.
It's Sade Adu.
Go back, dude. Go back to Shively. In Shively, it's Sade.
PRP.
Oh, my bad.
What's the meaning of this?
I'm sorry.
It's not Shively. It's Chivray.
Yeah. Hey, Courtney, I'm bringing back the phrase, what's the meaning of this?
Yeah.
Hey, what's the meaning of this?
I just love Sade in the background.
It
feels so smooth. Oh, I feel so relaxed right now. So I want to go to like a spa or something.
You should come over and get a massage from me.
I don't know how anybody could be
upset. You always turn the conversation to him.
He can't help it.
Well, like, you can't help yourself.
He's like a 9-year-old.
The great Wayne Gretzky says you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Courtney Donahoe.
Oh, there you go.
I take my shots with you.
All right. Well,
earlier, and to kind of give you a good indication, we were talking about on another station, we were talking about the different people who are out there who are groupies. So we're talking about different groupies, like there's police groupies, you know, and they call them badge bunnies, people who are, of course, follow rock stars.
Yeah,
there's different kinds
groups
of
for everybody.
So they asked me what kind of bunny I would be, and I said I would like to be basketball because I always loved college basketball. So that would be mine. So the anchor asked me, what would I be? I'm like, I'd be a hoop bunny. And then he came in with something else that wasn't quite suitable for air.
It's orange and it's round in the game of basketball.
Yeah.
Of what kind of bunny that would be. And then I was like, oh, okay, we're going to... the sports reporter was dying, and I'm trying to get out of this conversation.
Cars have rims.
Yeah, so that's the different bunnies. So
you know what? When I have to be the adult, it's really a bad day in the world.
But I handled it with grace in class.
Yeah, of course you do, because you are grace in class.
Yeah, I choose grace in class maybe every month. I veered myself that conversation.
What's the old saying? They want a lady, whatever, in a bedroom. Okay. All right, let's talk about the market, because that's what Bloomberg Money Minute does.
Yes. So we do see the S&P 500 pulling back from earlier highs. They're trading little change right now. The economy grew faster than forecast into the end of 2022, but there are signs of slowing underlying demand. But we are watching Tesla. We've been watching it all day today. But Elon Musk is teasing the potential for the car maker to produce 2 million vehicles this year. The company said it's going to increase output as quickly as possible with its long-standing goal to grow by 50% annually. Taking a look at the Dow right now, down 15 points, the S&P 500 rising 0.2%. I'm Courtney Donahoe, Bloomberg Radio.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
WHAS.
Check me out.
A little center swing, deep cut.
No, no, no. So this is love.
So this is love. Yeah. Yeah, my bad. I'm excited to talk to John Grice, so off my game. Listen, let's bring him in right now, as a matter of fact. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
Is that Dwight?
Yeah, that's me.
All right, tell me what's really going on.
Man, he's been fanboying over you all day. The show is...
Did you say fanboning?
John. Look, if you ask, he'll... Don't ask. Just
careful what you wish for.
Careful.
I promise you, I'm not going to fanbone you on this interview.
Right, yeah.
But listen, I want to talk about your career, man, because you got this incredible career. Your first movie, you're like age 11 with Charlton Heston. I want to talk about that, but first...
I was actually nine.
Nine? Okay. Are you kidding me?
Wow. Nine, yeah.
I want to get to that, but first I want to talk about the Napoleon Dynamite movie. It was $400,000, I believe, was spent to make that. It goes on to make around $46 million, and you're absolutely hilarious in the role of Uncle Rico. How do you research that, man? Do you go around ex-football players, or is it something you came up on your own?
Well, come on. I mean, we've all had our glory days and watched them pass us by and thought, oh, gosh, things had just worked out just a little bit different. You know, if I had made the choice to go to baseball instead of football, at least that was my situation when I was playing sports. I was kind of small. I was a good football player, but, you know, I was always very athletic, and I ended up just, you know, getting long hair and chasing girls. You know, like I gave it all up. But, you know, I look back at it, and I was like, you know, if I'd really stuck it out, I probably might have had a chance, you know. But anyway, I think there's like kind of a universal theme in that character. I think that's one of the reasons why he has the appeal that he does. But also, truly, when I first, you know, they offered me the film, and I really didn't know anybody from the film, and I met Jared Hess after I had agreed to do the film because the script was so funny. And like the first thing he said to me was like, "Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?" I mean, he was all of 22 years old when I met him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he had his 23rd birthday while we were filming the movie.
He
wrote this screenplay and directed it at you know, from 22 to 23. And so he just looked at me and said, "Can I talk to you about, you know, the character?" And I was like, "Of course, come on, man. Tell me, what do you got in mind?" And he said, "Well, he's a combination of David Hasselhoff meets Burt Reynolds meets Elvis." And I was like, "Say no more."
Now, was that was straight to DVD? That didn't even make. Did it make it to the theater? Am I remembering that wrong?
No. Yeah, you are. That movie, I think, cost somewhere in the area of about $370,000, $380,000 to make.
Wow!
And it was shot on film. It became the darling at Sundance, and then was picked up by Fox Searchlight. It made. I think in theaters worldwide anywhere between $50 and $60 million in theaters, and then went to DVD, and then went to cable, and you know, had a completely different ancillary life, which was, you know, obviously significant.
Yeah,
and listen, you've been in all kinds of great movies: Men in Black, Taken, both the Takens, Get Shorty, Helter Skelter, White Lotus, goes on and on and on. But I gotta think, after doing this cult classic, Napoleon Dynamite, is that the character that people approach you on the street about the most and say, "Hey, Uncle Rico," or whatever they might say?
I think now because Uncle Rico, you know, like I, when they said that, when Jared said that to me about David Hasselhoff and Burt Reynolds and Elvis, the first thing I did was I went to like one of these Korean wig stores and bought like a it's not even real hair.
Right.
I showed up with that wig, and they were like, "Let's try all your outfits with the wig on and the wig off." And then they kind of all looked at each other and went, "Wig on." So the thing is, most people that see me don't recognize me because I had this, you know, this wig. But White Lotus, on the other hand, I am just kind of not to be, no pun intended, but I was nakedly me, you know.
Right.
Well, yeah, well, you're naked a lot. You're naked a lot. But okay, you said you play football.
I walk down the street naked, they all go, "Hey."
Yeah. But okay, but the part of the funny of Uncle Rico is you said you played football, you're pretty good at it. Your throwing motion is so funny. You know, the line where you looking off into the distance and say, if coach would have put me in, we would have won state, and then picked that stake up and threw it. And your throwing motion is so bad, it's funny. You had to, I'm sure you throw a football much better than that. That's part of the comedy. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, actually, when, you know, I took it very literally that he felt like he was great at football. So I was throwing, my throwing motion when we first started shooting anything with me throwing was just, Jared Hess walked up and he said, that looks just too good.
Right.
You got to change that up. Right. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. It's a comedy. What am I thinking?
Right,
you
know? Right, yeah.
And so, yeah, then I kind of came up with the wing, the sling wing, sidearm throw, you know. But I will say my greatest acting moment in my whole career, I wasn't even on camera, which is I threw the stake that hit John Heder in the face.
So good. So good.
John Grice joins the show. Actually, you can see John Grice. You can see John Heder.
Where are they going to be?
It's going to be at the Louisville Memorial Auditorium February 4th.
February
4th. Okay. You guys are going, answer questions from the crowd, and then there's going to be a screening, right?
Yeah, there's a screening, and then afterwards we get up on stage and it's not just answering questions. I mean, we bring people up. We do a lot of stuff. It's a lot of fun. It's very interactive. You know, people get to, a lot of people come up, and so many people who know this film pretty much know a lot of the details of the stories of how things happen and so on. But sometimes people just want to tell their experience of the film, which, sorry, that's my bird in the background.
Yeah, you got a parrot, right?
Yeah, I do. I had a Pablo. He wants to be included in everything that's going on. I probably should pick him up just so he won't scream through the rest of the interview. But yeah, so it's a very interactive. I mean, we do all kinds of, you know, it's hijinks, shenanigans, whatever you want to call it. I mean, we have a lot of fun when we do it, and people really have a good time. It's really fun.
I always thought of you from Real Genius. You played Laszlo, the guy that you lived in. Yeah. Val Kilmer's closet, but the Gabriel Jarrett's closet, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You lived in his closet, and you signed up to try to win all of the whatever contests, and you won all the stuff at the end.
The Frito-Lay.
Yeah, the Frito-Lay stuff. What was that? So, you've been doing this your whole life. You've worked with some of the
Charlton Heston,
famous people on earth. Val Kilmer, was he cool?
Well, I love him. He and I are really good pals. And in fact, you know, not really well known, but I directed with him his screen test for The Doors. I
mean, something
that we worked on quite a bit. I have the video of it. It's kind of an amazing video that we made. And you know, Val's an amazing, amazing story. I mean, a lot of times people, you know, whenever he was up for a role, it was never quite that easy. Some roles he really had to fight for. And I mean, I actually, his audition for on film which was then called Wise Guy and became Goodfellas for Ray Liotta's part. He was very diligently working to get that role. I mean, he's one of these guys, you know, you think, oh, movie stars just get offered. No, Val was a hustler. I mean, you know, he still is a hustler, but when he was a younger actor and he was, you know, working to get these roles, he would really like say, no, I'm not just going to sit around and wait for somebody to bring up my name and hope that things work out. I'm going to prove to these people that I'm worthy of playing this role. You know,
learned
a lot from that.
Yeah.
One of the movies you're in is one of my favorite movies and extremely underrated, I think. It's The Grifters. Because when that movie came out, me and all my friends, we tried to learn the sleight of hand and, you know, the pickpocket crap. But when you're
in normal kid stuff,
normal kid stuff, go up to St. Andrew's Pub, try to get a wristwatch or two. But when you work on a movie like The Grifters, do they bring in pickpockets and grifters to kind of learn from? What was that experience like?
You know, the interesting thing is I had a wonderful agent years ago. I mean, this woman's kind of legendary. She's passed away now. Her name was Susan Smith, and she had a very small agency with a lot of really talented people. And, you know, I heard that Stephen Frears was making this movie, The Grifters, and I just loved this director so much. He had directed a couple of amazing movies like My Beautiful Laundrette and a couple of films at the time that were already slated to be classics. And I just said, I want to read for this guy. And she said, you know, I'll call and, you know, see what they have and if he'll meet you. And then she was able to get me in the office. And when I walked in, Stephen Frears looked at me, he goes, you know, I don't have any more roles. He says, I've only got like these 2 days, you know, these two guys that are, it's a day player on the film. I said, I don't care. I just want to work with you. I really don't care. And so it was a one scene deal. We just shot this one scene with Angelica Houston, and I forgot the other actor's name, but, and so we didn't really have the experience of working long term on the film. We were just literally in and out. It was just my opportunity I was just trying to make a relationship with this guy because I was so, you know, truly enamored with his talent and just wanted to watch him work and be around him, you know? So it was my way of just, you know, I didn't care what the role was, and truly the role was not much to speak of, but it was a great experience to work with him.
Remember, there's no small roles, John. At least I'm told about it. But listen, I want to get back to Napoleon Dynamite. Was all of that, did you stick to the script, or there's got to be some improvisation go on or not? What? Did you stay with the script?
Well, you know, honestly, that's a really good question. I have to say something about that script. That was one of the most beautifully constructed scripts that I'd ever read, which was amazing. That script, what you see on screen is, I'm going to say, 99%.
Wow.
That film is so perfectly stylized and such a gem, you know, and the only writer that I've ever worked with since then, that has come, that is in the same ballpark, if not maybe even a step ahead, is Mike White with White Lotus, because those scripts are just amazing too. I mean, literally, when I was doing season one and in Hawaii, I would read the script, all six episodes, I would just read them over and over and over, because we were on a lockdown, it was mm-hmm. COVID, I was stupid to only bring one book while I was there. So I read through the book and I was like, here I was. So I just kept reading that screenplay over, and I just was constantly amazed at how wonderful it was. You know, these two guys are really incredible talents. And the funny thing is, just a quick side note.
Sure.
I had COVID. While I had COVID, I was pretty much asymptomatic, but I read for the Mike White show, for White Lotus.
Yeah.
And I read it, I had a friend come over and read with me who stood like 50 feet away from me and read the other line.
Of course.
But when I got the job, I got the text from Jared Hess before I got the call from my agents. Mike White and Jared Hess have worked together and they're good friends. The first thing Mike White did was he texted Jared and said, hey, I just hired Uncle Rico being White Lotus. But Jared Hess calls me and he goes, hey, man, you're doing White Lotus. I said, what? What are you talking about? He goes, Mike White just texted me and said, you're going to be in it. And then literally 5 minutes later, my agents called. And then I said, yeah, I know I'm doing White Lotus. They were like, yeah. What? How did you know?
White Lotus was great. We're going to run out of time here. White Lotus was great. I love the coughing and the BLM. Her mixing up BLM was so funny. We were laughing out loud.
But I got to say, John, listen, well done. You're going to be here in Louisville, Kentucky at the Louisville Memorial Auditorium. It's a Napoleon Dynamite reunion. Uncle Rico, Napoleon Dynamite's going to be there. Pedro's going to be there. They're going to show the movie. Then you guys are going to answer questions afterwards. February 4th, I will see you there, John. Me and the wife and the in-laws are coming down to see you, okay?
Thank you for your time.
Be sure to come on up and, hang out.
I sure will,
John. I'll text you the week of the show. I appreciate it, man.
He's going to stalk you later. Yeah, thank you, John.
You're going to stalk.
Here comes the fan boning.
It's all good. It'll be fun.
I'll see you, John. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Baranos Pizza's Louisville-style pizza and the pizza of Napoleon Dynamite, baby. That's right. I said it. Napoleon Dynamite eats Baranos Pizza. Baranos Pizza has been around for over 45 years. You don't stick around that long unless you do one thing. Have great customer service and have the best pizza in the universe. It's how Susan and I kick off every single Friday night, including this one. Baranos Pizza. Yeah, it's that good. Back to wrap it up in just a minute on News Radio 840 WHAS. When I jumped
out on the road. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.